Thank you, Todd. Morning, guys. It's good to see you all this morning. This illustration that I'm going to use this morning is kind of near and dear to my heart because Ukraine is in the news. I think all of our hearts are broken to a certain degree by what we see over there. So that's going to be part of my story this morning. In 1992, I had the privilege and the experience of going to Ukraine. We started in Kyiv, and then we started traveling through the countryside, visiting these house churches. House churches back then, just 1 year after the complete fall of the Soviet Union, were very much like secret churches, like the secret churches you hear of in China. And so these people in these churches really didn't understand that they were free yet, because they had been forced to meet in secret for so many years. So as they sang very quietly. When their pastors were found out, it was an automatic 3-year jail term for them. But they did it over and over and over. They continued the hard work of being a pastor. And so as I traveled through Ukraine, I realized, saw very quickly that it was an agrarian culture. You know, they farmed. Every little farm, house had its garden. And then they were very large, huge farms, tens of thousands of acres where these people grew grain. And maybe you've heard that Ukraine was called the breadbasket of the Soviet Union because the majority of the wheat that was grown that took care of the nutritional needs of the Soviet Union was grown right there in Ukraine. So it was the breadbasket of the Soviet Union. And you remember that Stalin, back in the 20s and 30s, took Ukraine and years past that, they took much of that area over there and made it part of the Soviet Union. But Stalin, in his greed, took these farms from these farmers and made them these huge collectives. And he forced the farmers that had once owned that land to work on these collectives. And he set huge quotas for them of all kinds of produce, but primarily grain. And in the late 1920s, the harvest began to shrink. And so instead of allowing the Ukrainian farmers to keep the grain that they grew so that they could eat, Stalin did what Stalin always did. He took everything and he shipped it back to Mother Russia. And so it caused a famine, a man-made famine in Ukraine. They call it the Holodomor. It's two Ukrainian words put together, and it means starvation or to inflict death. So the Ukrainian people realized that Stalin's policies and creating these collectives and shipping the food back to Mother Russia caused them to starve and to inflict death upon them. So at the height of this period of time in 1932 and 1933, 3.9 million people starved to death in central Ukraine because of these policies. So as we were traveling through Ukraine, we were going to these same farms that had been part of collectives. At this point in time, the Soviet Union had fallen. And many of these farms had been given back to the families that originally had them. So they were able to move back into their ancestral homes. They got their land back, and now they were farming for themselves again. And you can imagine the joy that these people were experiencing having their land back. And we were talking to people whose parents and grandparents had gone through this time in history. Many of them starved to death and were gone, or if they wouldn't give in to Stalin's demands, they were shipped off to Siberia. But now these people had this land back, and believe me, they understood the value of the land. They understood how to work hard because they knew that if they didn't, they had nothing. Then they would starve to death. So these people, I think we could call very, very hard-working and joy-filled farmers. That leads us to our text today. Turn to 2 Timothy with me this morning. We're going to look at 2 Timothy 2, verses 6 and 7. 2 Timothy 2, verses 6 and 7. As you do that, let me just remind us a little bit about what the life was like in the first century for the average Israelite. They too were an agrarian community. The first century Israelite was a farmer. And those farmers would often own a plot of land. where they obey the timeless rhythms of the seasons and the weather to grow their crops for their daily sustenance and for their livelihood. This man, you know, had his family, but he would rise early in the morning and put his tunic on and his leather sandals, and he'd head out to his plot and he'd begin to work. He rose early, and as the seasons demanded, he would plow, and then he would plant, and then he would water, and he would weed, and he would feed, and he would harvest his crop. And only after those things happened that the crop came in, and they celebrated. Even the Jewish feast celebrated the harvest. And then they would cook the food, and they would eat it. But until all those first things were done, there was no food to cook. There was no food to eat, so they were subsistence farmers, weren't they? They didn't work hard. They didn't eat. That's what their life was like. It was a simple life. It was a simple life for them, but it was a very, very hard life that these people had. 2 Timothy 2, verses 6 and 7. Let's look at it together, men. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. What is Paul saying to Timothy here? And what is he saying to us? Yeah, you reap what you sow. I like that. Thank you for the comment. The leader, the Christian leader, is a lot like a farmer sometimes. Remember what was happening at that time? Paul had been arrested for the second time. He's in jail there in Rome awaiting his inevitable execution. Nero had blamed the Christians for the burning of Rome, and a great persecution had come on the Christians there in Rome, and not everywhere in the empire, but there in Rome certainly, and it was beginning to spread. So Paul writes to Timothy, and he says, Timothy, I want you to come and see me. I long to see you. I want you to come to Rome and see me, Timothy, before it's all over. But before you do, I want you to focus on some critically important things. We've talked about those things in weeks past. Number one, Timothy, focus on training the men. Train the men so the gospel continues. It's my legacy, Timothy. Train the men. Chris Sr. talked about that last week and did a terrific job. Train the men. Also, later on in chapter 4, which we'll look at, in the coming weeks, preach the word. So Timothy, do these two things. Do these two things. And so he challenges Timothy in the face of difficult times to stand up, speak out, be bold, and work hard. That's Paul's charge to Timothy. It's a charge to us, isn't it, too, leaders? Leaders, stand up. Leaders, speak out. Leaders, be bold. Leaders, work hard. And in this passage, beginning of chapter 2, we saw Paul make this charge to Timothy to be bold and to continue to teach. And he's compared Timothy to two different kinds of people. Do you remember what they are? To the soldier and to the athlete, right, men? To the soldier and to the athlete. And now he says there's one more thing I'm going to compare this to, Timothy, and it's the farmer. I want you to think about the work that the farmer does and what his life is like. So look, each analogy Paul uses highlights certain qualities a leader demonstrates. Think about that soldier who experienced the excitement of battle, but he's always obedient to his commanders. But there's excitement for them in going into battle, isn't there? Man, that adrenaline's pumping, and it's got to be an amazing experience. Somewhat frightening, I think. The athlete, different, right? The athlete has the thrill of competing. Chris last week said, guys, you better compete, because that's what it takes to survive and be a good leader in this world that we live in. So Paul's already compared the Christian life to the soldier and to the athlete. But this farmer that Paul uses as an illustration now is very different than the first two things he's talked about, isn't it? I mean, think about the farmer. The farmer's working hours are long. His work is hard. His labor is tedious. And unlike the soldier and unlike the athlete, the farmer works alone, doesn't he? He doesn't have other soldiers around him pushing him on. He doesn't have other athletes pushing him and crowds cheering for him. He is out there in solitude. He's working by himself, just doing these things that farmers do. And Paul says, Timothy, sometimes your life is not going to be like the soldier. It's not going to be like the athlete. It's going to be much more like the hardworking farmer. The farmer who plows and seeds and weeds and does all these tasks that seem mundane, they're arduous, but they have to be done in the right time, the right way, or there's no yield. So Paul says, there are things in the life of the Christian leader that must be done, just like the farmer has to do things in season. What are they? Being faithful every day. Being obedient to the Word every day. Studying the Word. Being in prayer. Memorizing Scripture. Fleeing sin. Pursuing holiness. These things that we need to do every single day. That's what the life of the farmer looks like. And as he does it, he grows. He grows. He grows. And he's more useful as a leader, isn't he? Paul says, Timothy, sometimes you have to stay at it every day, no matter what's going on. And here's the why. This is interesting to me, the why. Look at this. Back to verse 6. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crop. First you work hard, and then, you know, here we have this if-then principle, right? If you do this, then this thing is going to happen. If you are a hardworking farmer, you ought to. That word ought is interesting. Your Bible, your translation may say something different. Maybe it says the hardworking farmer must get the first. Maybe it says the hardworking farmer who gets the first of the crops. Maybe it says the hardworking farmer will receive. You probably see that in some of the other translations. The reason I point that out to you is because Paul is saying to Timothy, as a hardworking farmer, you will, as someone over here said, reap what you sow. It will come to you. If you're diligent in these small things, it will come. It's the principle of promise, or a principle with promise, isn't it, man? You stick to it. You do the hard things, and you do them every single day. And if you work hard, Paul says to Timothy, the blessing will come. Paul says to every one of us down through time, the blessing will come. What is the blessing? Peace, joy, fulfillment, blessing. That's what comes. But there's a contrast that we find in Scripture, isn't there, guys? All through Proverbs, we find the contrast to that. Proverbs 20, verse 4. It'll be familiar to you. The sluggard does not plow after the harvest. The sluggard does not plow after the autumn, so he begs during the harvest and has nothing. Proverbs 24, verse 30. I passed by the field of the sluggard and by the vineyard of the man lacking sense, and behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles, and its stone walls were broken down. Yeah, Paul reminds Timothy, you got to be a hardworking man. Then the blessing comes. But if you're a sluggard and you don't work, then blessing does not come. So Paul says, let's be like the farmer. Let's be like the farmer sometimes. Let's get in the trenches, you know, and let's get out there every morning and do this hard work. Let's plow and let's water and let's weed. Anybody grow up on a farm? Anybody grow up on a farm? I'm the only person in this room that grew up on a farm and knows what I'm talking about. It's hard work. Every single morning before dawn. And when I grew up, we had tractors. You know, the Israelites, they didn't have tractors. They had hand tools. Maybe they had an oxen. Maybe they had a mule or something to pull that plow. But it is hard, hard, hard work. And you can thank me, because my labor is where your food came from. Let's be like the farmer, whose joy and satisfaction comes after the hard work is done, after the harvest is in. I vividly remember some of my experiences in these house churches with these Christians in Ukraine. And we were going from house to house to house. And you know, you'd be in a room that's maybe 12 by 12 or 14 by 14, and there's little benches, and there was 50 people stuck in there, you know, shoulder to shoulder, and the preacher's up there preaching away. you know, and they'd sing, and it was hotter, and blue blazes in there, and it smelled of body odor in there. But it was fantastic. It was fantastic. And after the service was over, every single one of us wanted us to stay and have a meal with them. And I can remember the joy in their faces as they would bring the fresh produce out and tell us about what everything was, how it was grown. They wanted to show us their gardens. They'd bring their canned goods out of their cellars and show us. They'd open these things up, this can of pickles, you know, this can of pickled eggs and things. They wanted to give us everything. They bought huge platters of food. It was everything that they had was grown in their home and their farm. And there was tremendous joy in their faces in sharing with us what they had grown. And it was an amazing experience. I saw firsthand the joy that comes after the harvest, the joy that comes from the hard work. And that's what Paul is trying to help Timothy to understand. After the hard work is the joy. That's when the fulfillment comes. But it doesn't come until the hard work has been done. They enjoyed it. They enjoyed it. And I so much appreciated their hard work, and I experienced the joy right along with them. There's one other thing Paul that says here that in verse 7 that you cannot miss. You cannot miss. Verse 7, look at this. Timothy, men, leaders, consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. See, Paul said, Timothy, you got to keep fighting the fight. You got to be bold. You keep training men. You keep preaching the gospel. Do it like the obedient soldier. Compete like the athlete. And sometimes just get in the, you know, out there with your plow and do the hard work. Now, Timothy, after you've looked at these three different examples that I'm giving you, now consider them. Think about them, Timothy. Think about every single one of them. He says, meditate on them. Consider them, because there are going to be times in your life where you're going to have to be the soldier, you're going to have to be the athlete, or you're going to have to be the farmer, and maybe you're going to have to be all three things at the same time. I think about my life, what God has called me to do, and I'll tell you what Chris Sr. did for 40 years. It's not easy. This is not an easy job. It's a hard job. It's much harder than I thought it was going to be. But I got to keep my hand to the plow, don't I, man? Chris did it for 40 years, and I admire him for it. It's hard work. But the joy that comes from seeing men get it, from seeing men become great leaders in their families, in their homes, in their businesses, there's nothing like it. It's an amazing thing. So Chris considered these things. I considered these things. So Paul says, sometimes you're going to have to be all of these different things. But you keep your hand to the plow. You keep focusing on the fundamentals, and you will grow, and people around you will grow, and you'll experience the joy that comes after the hard work. Amen? Amen. Amen. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you so much for the illustrations and the teaching that Paul left for us in his letters to Timothy. We just thank you for how relevant they are and how meaningful they are to us today. Help us, Father, to keep our eyes focused on the most important things, being men who understand your word and internalizing it, living by it, and teaching it to other men so that they too can become great leaders. And we praise you for the opportunity to do that. Help us to be the soldier, the athlete, and the farmer in each in season, or maybe all the time. We pray this in your son's name. Amen. 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 Have a good time at your tables, gentlemen.